Liz out. I was due to kind of prepare dinner, and Liz says, well, do chicken supreme. That's an easy one. We've done that all the time. So I did. But I got opened the recipe book, and so and I got caught, got my ingredients, and I got caught on the very first line. Because do you know what it said? Sauté the vegetables. I thought, what does that mean? I had to go and get the dictionary out. In fact, chicken supreme cropped up more recently in our household, because again, this was out, and she said, okay, you start up dinner, we're having chicken supreme, which we have so many times, one of my favorite dishes. And so she said, well, get the vegetables ready. So I, on the internet, okay, just call up a recipe for chicken supreme. So I did that, went downstairs, started to get the ingredients ready, and I thought, well, I did hope this turns up by the time I've got the ingredients ready, otherwise I shall have to start cooking it. And fortunately, she did. But by that time, I discovered we didn't have bacon, which this recipe said you've got to have bacon in chicken supreme. Apart from that, I was okay. And then this turned up just as all the ingredients were out. And she said to me, we don't have onion in our chicken supreme. So that had to go. But the recipe said, we don't have bacon anyway, so that doesn't matter. So there you are. I'm more equipped to talk about eating than I am to talk about cooking. But think, if you will, of one of your favorite recent meals. Right? Don't have to spend too long thinking about it, but just kind of the very first meal, if you like, that comes into your mind. And think, what was special about it? Okay, just start thinking. I'm gonna have a sip of water. Was it the food itself? Was it the company? Was it the context? Do you have to have ambience for great food? Jim's laughing now. Okay. Well, and how on earth can food be a holy habit? Well, I hope by the time I finish this talk, you'll have a chance to reflect upon your favorite meal and think how food can be holy in certain circumstances, and how every day it can be holy. It can be a holy habit. And all this is part of a series of things we're doing. We're running through a series of holy habits, and Louise introduced the subject to us a couple of weeks ago, and last week Peter spoke to us about hospitality, and it's there on the web if you want to play it again, and this will be there within a few days if you ever want to hear this again. And as Louise has mentioned, two things you've got to particularly remember today: dine, a wonderful opportunity to eat with who you may, as the names, so to speak, are put into groups of 8 or 10. But please, please do, great fun, and a holy thing to do as we thank God for food and enjoy each other's company. And next week, an opportunity for us all to eat together in the harvest, bring and share at lunchtime. So please do come to that. Oh, switch this on, that would be good. There we go. So the series that we're running are in the context of walking the way. Walking in the sense of discipleship. We are walking in the way of Jesus. We are following Jesus. We are his disciples. And this is the kind of the context in which Louise introduced it to us. And this is the series we're following. It's a book called Holy Habits. This is it in the flesh, so to speak. It's a series of talks that are being run by many churches in the UK at the moment. and they've been blessed by it. Hope we'll be blessed too. And that's the author, I believe, whose name I've forgotten for the moment. Andrew Roberts, fancy that. There's a clue there, isn't there? Gets better. And here we are. Here are the holy habits, and suitably highlighted is the one that we're doing today, eating together. And eating together can be special in many contexts. We're going to have a look at a video now to show one particular... Well, video doesn't come across so well on audio, so I'll just explain what we've just been watching. A lovely little endearing video of how a lady, rather isolated and feeling that the world was just passing her by and didn't care, decided that she would just put a mark down, and she put a table in the middle of the office corridor and a tablecloth and invited a friend. Or it might have been where she was living, wasn't quite clear. But and then people just came and joined, and they ate, and they got to know each other and enjoyed each other's company, and it was inclusive. Interestingly, did you see why it was published? The 150th birthday anniversary of Canada, of the nation of Canada. They decided that as part of their national identity, their 150 years, they should encourage people to eat together, enjoy each other's company. I thought that was very interesting. But there is a particular Christian ingredient which I'm going to mix into the developing dinner, and I'm going to explain how it's holy. And I'm going to start that off by reading you the passage that we're going to look at today, which is that of Jesus having a post-resurrection breakfast barbecue. So I'm reading from John 21. Afterwards, and that's to say, after the resurrection, after Jesus had appeared to his apostles, about 8 days afterwards, in fact. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, that's the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, fishing, I guess, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning of burning coals, and there were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, their net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Well, isn't that a lovely way to meet Jesus? And as I've been thinking about, you know, this subject and memorable occasions for food, this is a pretty marvelous kind of occasion, isn't it? It's the guys have been out fishing all night. I dare say they'd gone, because when Peter said, I'm going fishing, my guess is that he'd done that because He just didn't know what to do. You know, he was a fisherman, remember, and Jesus had appeared and had been amazed that he was raised from the dead. But then it was a week on, and he didn't quite know what to do. Well, I think when he said, "I'm going fishing," he was saying, "Well, I'm going to do what I can do, what I used to do." Maybe it would make him feel comfortable. It would certainly take him back into the everyday. But it wasn't a successful night's fishing. They were out for the whole night, and nothing came of it. Can happen sometimes. You know, these guys were expert fishermen, but the fish were just in a different place. So at the end of the night, they were tired, they were hungry, they were pretty fed up, I should think. And then this marvelous experience, which we've just read about, and "Hey guys, caught any fish?" "No." "Well, throw your nets down this side." "Well, what are you talking about? We know what we're doing. We're fishermen. We've been doing this all of our lives. Why should we throw it down that side?" Probably it was the wrong side of the boat in terms of the shadows and the sun. And they knew they wouldn't catch fish there. But they did what he said. Net full of fish. "Bring some in, guys, and we'll have a breakfast barbecue together." Well, as they did, the smell of fresh bread and baking fish, hungry men in the morning sunshine, the waves lapping on the beach. Yeah, it's a pretty good place and time and company for a meal, wouldn't you think? But it had an edge to it because they knew it was Jesus. But they daren't ask him, "Is it you, Lord?" So it was familiar, and yet it wasn't. What a wonderful way to meet with Jesus. And my surmise is that this, he did not do this by accident or without intention. He did this because this was familiar to them, but it was opening up a new context. Meeting the risen Lord. And what we go on to see after this short passage, and worth reading, but we hadn't got time in today's reading, is that Jesus, after the meal, takes Peter slightly aside and said, "Peter, you're not going back to fishing. You're going to be a new man leading my church. Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And so Peter was reinstated from those terrible events surrounding the crucifixion to lead the growing church. Well, go back to thinking about your favourite meal now. What did it have in the mix? For me, when I thought about my favourite meal, I could have thought of many, but I thought of one just last week when we were on holiday in France. Liz, who's always one of my favourite people to eat with, my wife, my lovely wife, my brother and his wife, and a friend since childhood days who was my best man. Doug is his name. And we were having a short few days holiday in France, and we decided we'd visit Avignon. You know that? Sur le pont d'Avignon. On y danse, on y danse. And so he goes on. And there we were. We'd visited the Palace of the Popes. We'd gone on the bridge. And we ended the day with this lovely meal in the town square. Beautiful, lovely, and all the youngsters are coming back in to join us now, so I'm going to rapidly draw to a conclusion. This was a beautiful, lovely meal. Think of the way in which, as we share food together, we can enjoy our company as Christians, we can get to know each other better. My own story to finish with is part of the story of how I came to be a Christian. And it has to do with food. Right? Strange as a teenager that becoming a Christian should have anything to do with food, really. unless it was fish and chips in the chippy after the young men's playing football in down at the gospel hall that I went to. But no, the story I'm going to tell you very quickly is the story of being invited to Sunday tea. And it was being invited to Sunday tea for a very deliberate reason. Who wants to invite a teenager to have tea on Sunday afternoon with them? Well, not so many people I know, but this lovely couple in the church. In fact, I say couple, they were a lovely couple. The husband had died, the wife carried on, teenage daughter, son. They invited me to tea in order that I could, from being completely outside the church, come to meet with people in the church and follow on to church with them and experience church in the context of having had a meal with them. What a lovely thing to do. So, say yes to dying, say yes to our harvest lunch together. Let's get to know each other. Let's get to know Jesus in each other as we share food together and share our stories. Because part of the beauty of eating together is sharing stories together. Let's pray. Father, will you bless us as we come to share food together in the different ways that are open to us? Will you enable us, as we do that, to tell each other the stories of faith, what has brought us to this point, what will bless each to the other? And through this coming week as we go out, may we be a blessing to those that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.